CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We get together every weekday afternoon at this time, looking at the great things that God's Word has for us. And, you know, if you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, hey, that's why we're here. We set this time aside to do this very thing. Live radio, you can give us a call, 888-ASK-CSN. You can be part of the program today. And today's a special day because we have with us Brad Dacus, attorney at law, for advice. And he represents, and Pacific Justice Institute, representing people like you and me, our organizations, against unfair treatment of the government and city, state, local laws. So if you got a question you'd like to ask him today, imagine a lawyer with free advice. Wow, only here on CSN do you get that. Brad, hi, and welcome to the program.
Oh, it's great to be on the show. Thank you.
Look forward to answering some questions with you. And so we just had a vote in the House or in the Senate banning women or transgender men from playing in women's sports. It needed a 60 vote to pass. All the Democrats voted against women, saying, no, a man can put on a dress and be a girl, compete in women's sports, take away their scholarships. What's wrong with the Democratic Party? I look at this and I go, they want to govern and they don't know the difference between a man and a woman, that you just don't put a dress on and magically become a woman, or a cat collar and become a cat. What is their mentality? Tell me. You're an attorney. I want to know. I'm sure we all do. What is it? Brad, I think we might have lost Brad. He'll come back in a second. But I was really amazed that the Democrats unanimously in the Senate voted to allow men to play in women's sports. My question is then, why do we have women's bathrooms and men's bathrooms? Why do we even have women's sports at all if you can just put on a dress and beat the tar out of women? I guess the Democratic Party doesn't like women at all. At least that's the way it appears. I mean, you'd want to protect women, at least I would think. But they don't. Heard about a story where transgender guy playing on a girl's volleyball team spikes a ball, hits the girl so hard in the head it caused brain damage. That's true. And yet this is okay with this party. Things that make you go, Brad, your thoughts?
Well, I just got back up.
So, yeah. Well, yeah. It's why would anybody, the Democratic Party in particular, most of America is appalled by this, that a guy can put on a dress, compete in women's sports, steal their scholarships. And to the Democratic Party, this was just voted on in the Senate, right down party lines. The Democrats voted no. Men in a dress should be able to play in women's sports. Transgender men can play in women's sports, and really violating the rights of all women. Right. What's wrong with this party? Brad, you're an attorney. Please tell all of us. Inquiring minds want to know.
Well, first off, it just totally obliterates Title IX, which was enacted partly to make sure that girls had the same equal opportunity to compete in athletic competition by requiring that there be girls basketball and girls sports, so boys cannot, you know, compete against them. Girls swimming. It was a wonderful Civil Rights Act. It was very valuable, and yet this position by the left just obliterates that by allowing males to just simply affirm that they feel like they're female. And let's say they have dysphoria, it doesn't change reality. And the reality is they have the body of a male. And that male still has a major, major advantage. And we haven't seen just one or two little fluke incidents. No, this is massive, and it is a just totally destroyed the hopes and the dreams of so many young women out there wanting to excel and compete in sports. And maybe they've been practicing since they were 5 years old, and now it's completely been taken from them. The rug's been pulled out from under them. And now to see that when this was voted on, I personally thought it was going to be unanimous in favor of this bill to protect girls and females, giving them equal opportunity. But no, it was right down party lines. And I just think this goes to show you partly the extent to which spiritual depravity and insanity has gripped not just the, you know, isolated places, but has literally gripped an entire party of the United States of America. And it is shocking.
Well, and again, it's in violation of God's word. Male and female, he created them. Read Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Very clear. And yet, I am amazed that they just want to fly in the face of God. I don't understand this at all. And, you know, Brad, again, you've been so gracious to so many individuals, churches, and different organizations across America, defending them against unfair practices, those that didn't want to take the COVID vaccination, losing their jobs nationally in government positions, now finding out that these vaccinations were in fact not checked out, they were not safe, and causing major problems. Now, those that were wise enough not to take the vaccination still have their health, but they don't have their jobs. And I know you've been really scraping up the pieces of the previous train wreck of an administration to restore people back to their rightful jobs. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I tell you, we've led the nation actually in this defense of people of faith being purged from the workplace, not because of the merits or their performance, but because of the fact that they have religious beliefs and conviction against taking an experimental vaccine that really wasn't actually a vaccine. Turns out it does not prevent transmission. A lot of people prayed about it. This was massive. It wasn't, you know, some guy who's the head of a certain denomination or a big mega church pushing. No, this was all throughout, from the ground up, people just feeling like, I don't know why, but I just feel like this isn't something I should take. And they lost their jobs. Well, we at Pacific Justice, we stepped in. We have more cases. We've had more cases in ongoing litigation. We have more cases in ongoing litigation defending these people than any other organization, private law firm, even the government can compare with. So it's really been amazing. We had a huge victory against San Francisco BART, Barrier Rapid Transit, $7.8 million judgment. Then we just got a second victory against actually San Francisco again. And it was on behalf of two individuals. It was a success before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We've had cases all over the country. And make no mistake, we've been working on this very diligently. Some of our states, California, I think Oregon, Washington, have been overwhelmed and recently. So we're trying to get those cases done so we can take on some more cases there. But all across the country, our goal has been trying to make sure that everyone gets help, at the very least with legal counsel and advice. And like I say, we're taking these cases on all over the country. Even people needing organ transplants, being denied a life, critically needed life organ transplant because they didn't get the vax, even though the vax doesn't help them, it actually hurts them. We've been filing lawsuits. We've got University of Michigan Medical Center and other hospitals. We've defeated them, and now they are helping. We helped more than two dozen people get life-needed organ transplants that otherwise probably would have died within the matter of 6 months to a year.
Amen. Well, again, everyone, if you need help, Brad is here. If you've got a particular question you'd like to ask our attorney of the day, well, today's your day to call 8888-ASK-CSN. You can be part of the program. And with that, we're going to go to line one, Justin in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi and welcome.
Hello, Pastor Mike.
Hi.
A question.
Yes.
My question is in Genesis, I don't remember the exact chapter, when the angel of the Lord goes to see Abraham and Sarah and explains to them that so should have a baby and all that. Who is that angel of the Lord referencing to?
Well, sometimes we find what's called theophanies of Christ throughout the Old Testament. And it may very well be that this could be a theophany of Christ. Now, again, I want to be careful sometimes to say, oh, absolutely, that was it. But we do know that Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, saw it, and was glad in John chapter 8. Now, when did Jesus meet Abraham? In fact, the Pharisees even said that. They said in John 8, 50, I think 6 or 57, they said, you're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham. So very clearly, Jesus is not only speaking there of his pre-existence before he was born in Jerusalem. Cults, take notice of this. You and your wacky doctrine telling people that Jesus was only in the mind of God before he was born in Jerusalem or Bethlehem, you're not reading the scripture. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, saw it, and was glad. The Pharisees then responded, and they said, you're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? And that's when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And then John 8:59, they picked up stones to stone him. Now, why is that significant? First of all, Jesus said he met Abraham face to face, and the Pharisees recognized what Jesus was saying. So Jesus, in fact, did exist before he was born in Bethlehem. And what was discussed? Well, we know that several times Abraham had close encounters with God, walking through the animal that had been cut in two and that covenant that he made with him. We find this place where you're speaking of right here, on the return of the slaughter of the kings. Hebrews tells us, consider Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without beginning of days nor end of days, but like unto the Son of God or Son of Man. So as you look at this, you realize, I believe that Abraham had many encounters with God all along and many encounters with Jesus, as Jesus himself said that he did. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I really like the fact that the scripture is not gray on this. It's very clear, as you pointed out, I think so clearly, how Jesus wasn't just in the mind of God. Jesus didn't just come about when he was born. No, when Abraham, before Abraham was, I am. Jehovah's Witness, of course, try to distort that in their reinterpretation of the Bible, or their scripture, if you will. But it's very, very clear who Jesus is, and when, and his interaction with Abraham also, I think, is evidence of that as well. It's interesting, when the Bible sometimes refers like to an angel or angel of the Lord, you know, there's that question is, now, could that be Jesus, or is that an angel? You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, that's an area that I'm going to have to punt on. But I do know that who Jesus was, we know when Jesus was, which is he is the Creator, and so therefore he is existed beyond the dimensions of time and space with the Father. This is very clear, and the scripture gives us a great assurance of that.
So I hope that answers it for you, Justin.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because the other day when I was listening, one of the pastors on there was saying that if it references an angel in the Old Testament, then it's never talking about Jesus. Well, from my understanding, you know, there's instances, as you guys called it, Christophanies, to where there's mentions of angel of the Lord, to where it references Jesus coming and dealing with things.
Well, yeah, and I believe what you're talking about here is possibly Genesis chapter 22. Angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven, commanding him not to harm his son. There's many places that we find that. Now, when someone says that, I don't agree, and here's why. In the book of Joshua, the first couple of chapters there, God appears to Joshua. And Joshua says, are you for us or are you against us? And he said, I'm for you. And we find that this angel that appears to Joshua, he bows down to worship it. Now, the angel did not stop him from doing that, which angels always do.
Yes.
If it is not Jesus Christ. So I believe that that angel was, in fact, Jesus, because Joshua, he received praise from Joshua as he bowed down and worshiped him. So no, yes. I have to reject that. And certainly we find other instances, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Yes. Nebuchadnezzar, king of the world at the time, says, I put three men in there, and why is there a fourth likened to the Son of Man? I believe that we find this all the way through the scripture, right. And I think we need to be very careful. When we get into Revelation, for instance, anytime John tried to worship something other than Jesus Christ, he was forbidden to do so.
Right.
So I would have to apply and go back to the book of Joshua, saying what he said was probably not well researched. I think everybody makes mistakes. I certainly have. Very clearly, I believe the angel that appeared to Joshua was, in fact, Jesus Christ, because it says that Joshua worshiped him, and right. The angel, so to speak, did not rebuke him for doing so. Any right. last thoughts on that, Brad?
Yeah, I think that's a really great observation, because we do see in Scripture and other places where angels say, well, no, don't worship me. No, don't. I'm just an angel.
Worship God.
Yeah, so... So when they do receive that worship and they don't reject it, that is a very, very strong indicator that that is God, receiving that through Jesus. And I agree. I think that's a very, very compelling argument to support that. And it must be taken seriously.
Now, something we have to understand. The idea that these close encounters of the real kind, the theophanies of Christ in the Old Testament, when you get into the Talmud and you get into Jewish interpretation of the Torah and the Old Testament scriptures, since they do not believe in Jesus Christ, they will try to write it off as an angel. However, when we study the entirety of Scripture, we find that angels are forbidden to receive worship. Hope that helps.
Right.
Thank you.
God bless you. Stay online if you like. Send you out some books, DVDs. I think you'll really enjoy them. Share them with your friends. Let's go to Debbie, New Mexico. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey,
how may we
Mike?
Yes.
I need prayer for, please.
Well, we certainly will pray. We know the God who heals. What do you need prayer for, Debbie?
Well, I was diagnosed with cancer in June of 2024.
Oh, dear. Well, God's got to heal. You know, I mean, I've seen him heal. And I've prayed for many people, and I've seen God miraculously heal people. We have a brother in our church. I won't say his name, Jim. He had cancer in his legs, and they were going to take his leg off. And we prayed, and the Lord not only has reversed the cancer, but he kept his legs as well. So we have a God of miracles.
Yes.
Now, I got to tell you this too, Debbie, I prayed for people and God took them home. God did heal him. He gave him a brand new body, gave him a brand new forever. So I know that to live is Christ, as Paul says, to die is gain. I have to rest in him, knowing that he knows what's best for me. And when our time to go has come, there's nowhere I'd rather be.
Right.
There's just nowhere else I'd rather be. And so I think that we need to be very, very aware of God's presence in our life and that he will do that. Now, very clearly, through Jesus' ministry, even in the Old Testament, such as Elijah praying for a little boy to come back to life who was dead, his spirit returned to him and he became healed. We see Jesus doing that. We find the disciples doing that. James says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and they'll recover. So I know God is still in the miracle working business. Now, people sometimes say, oh, miracles ceased with the apostles. Not so. They didn't start with the apostles. Miracles are all the way through the Old Testament of God intervening in the lives of humans. Sometimes divine provision, as it was with the woman with the pots of oil. Sometimes it's divine healing, and we find that in the Bible as well. We find divine deliverance in the Bible. So it didn't cease with the apostles. God is still in the miracle working business. And Debbie, because you're alive and breathing today, you, me, all of us listening, we're a candidate for God's miracles to be in our life. Brad, any last thoughts? And then we want to pray for Debbie.
Yeah, it's times like this that we really grow on our faith because, you know, God wants us to trust him, to trust that, number one, that he loves us, that he cares about us, that he's not a part-time God, that he really means it when he says he'll be with us always, even to the end of the age. And then also that he can have that, and he has that capacity to heal and to do so. Now, his ways aren't always our ways. His thoughts aren't always our thoughts. His timing is not always our timing. And sometimes we sort of say, God, why are you allowing this? Why are you allowing that? I can say in my own life, when I've gone through some of the most testing of times, you know, medically and otherwise, it's those times that I've actually grown the most in clinging to the Lord and learning to trust in the Lord. And I think that this is the challenge, maybe, Debbie, to you, is to lean on the Lord, to trust in the Lord throughout this entire process, knowing that his grace is sufficient, his love is sufficient, and his power is sufficient to be able to heal you according to his perfect will and what he has in store. I think it's so true. We often forget how awesome it is going to be when we leave this earth. This earth has been a train station, and we're all going to leave the train station, some a little sooner than others. But we as believers are all headed to a place much, much better than this temporary train station on earth. And I think it's also encouraging to be reminded of the hope and the promises that we have of what is to come as believers and followers of Jesus Christ.
So let's pray for you, okay, Debbie?
Thank you.
Father, one who heals, we all ask you to reach your hand out to Debbie and yes, touch her body, take away the cancer. You're a good God, and you love us. And to live with infirmity, Lord, as so many of us have, Lord, we just ask you for every person listening that you'll touch all of our bodies.
Yes.
And bring that healing, God. And Lord, I just pray that you would, through this, cause Debbie's faith to grow in you and trust you to live as Christ, die as gain, Lord, whatever happens. But you have told us we don't have because we don't ask. And so, Lord, we are asking you, not demanding, we come to you asking. God who heals, would you please heal her? Just touch her body. Restore her, God. And thank you for being faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Debbie, our prayers are with you, dear.
Thank you. Pastor, I also have three sons that are not saved.
Well, let's pray for that. I think everybody listening knows somebody in their family or friends that aren't saved. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord, and we ask you that you would bind Satan from the minds of these people, Lord, that are on our hearts, that your truth would come into their life. Satan bound, the lie stops, and they can hear the truth that they need to come to you. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Not just for Debbie's family, but for all those, Lord, we pray for the lost right now. And may we truly be people who preach your word to every creature. And so we ask you now that you would touch her family. And Father, in Jesus' name, touch her again. Amen.
Amen.
Dear, we just trust God for the very best for you. Stay online if you like. We'll send you some books and DVDs. And with that, we'll go to Susan in Lancaster, California. Hi, and welcome. Hi. Susan, are you there? Uh-oh. I don't think she's there. Okay, well, we'll go to Ron. Ron, are you there?
Yes, sir.
How may we help?
Oh, just what you guys talking about, the males playing in female sports. When Trump was talking Tuesday, they had a gal on there that some guy spiked it and I guess hit
gave her
in
brain
the
damage.
And then the other one was that 13-year-old kid who was dressed up like a police officer, had cancer when he was five. Anyway, you know, everyone was applauding except for none of the Democrats. And, you know, that's not even political.
Right.
No, it's called common courtesy, and they don't even have that anymore. I there's something seriously deep within the souls of these people that are messed up. And I don't know what it is. But I know when you can't stand applauding an award for a little boy who had brain cancer, bunch of really, really sick puppies out there. I'll tell you, Brad, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, this is what I call one of these thermometer experiences where it's a testing. It's a clear cut testing, I believe, of what we're dealing with and what the Democrats are dealing with in terms of their leadership. It's a dark day. It's a dark day in politics, and it's very indicative, I think, of where a lot of our leaders are. So we need to pray for all of them to have their eyes opened up and to come to Christ.
Coming up on a break, we'll be right.
In 2007, when Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, cried out to God, "What can I do for you?" the answer came loud and clear.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often. But if we can get a mom into one of our clinics and show her her baby, and she has that close encounter of the best kind in her womb, she will choose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
We want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man Answer here on this Friday afternoon as we wrap up this week with Brad Dacus from PacificJusticeInstitute.org, representing people like you and me against unfair things. And Brad, I'm so glad for what you do. We have Ron on the line who called in before the break asking about the whole transgender thing. And of course, it is so unfair. It is so disrespectful for women. to say a guy puts on a dress and then all of a sudden identifies with women because that's the way he feels. Well, I got some news for everybody. Not everybody else feels the way you do, dude in the dress. And that's one of the great problems. And just because you put a cat collar on doesn't make you a cat, even though you feel like one. I'm not kidding. We have one of the people in our church that quit his job at one of the colleges because he refused to put cat boxes in the bathrooms to make the cat boxes in the bathrooms. So people who identify as a cat can go in the kitty litter. You know, I don't know how insanity Brad can run like this and have being applauded by the Democrat Party. A guy puts on a dress, steals women's scholarships, and they think this is good? And they want to run the country? Boy, we got some serious problems. Your thoughts?
I think a lot of this is also turning away from God. You know, for just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved or delusional mind to do those things that are not proper. And I think part of that, we think of as actions, but also the mind itself becomes polluted. It becomes confused, illogical. And that's what we're seeing. It's not just a difference of opinion, mind you. It's not a difference of perspective. This is a difference of sanity, of reality. And it's unfortunately very cold-hearted because when you affirm confusion, you don't help anyone. And in fact, studies show those who are affirmed into gender confusion have a suicide rate that is more than 1,200% higher than their peers. We know that. They say, well, you know, but he sees himself as a female, so let him into the locker room. Well, hold off. The studies also show that even those who have real mental dysphoria, and a lot of them just have, you know, somewhat insecurities and confusion, but have real serious dysphoria, the overwhelming majority of those, more than 7 out of 10, are still sexually turned on by looking at a naked girl. Hello. So there's no logical explanation for this. There is no credible argument to justify women being visually violated by the opposite biological sex. Case closed. I'm glad to see that the president has been very strong on this. Sometimes politicians try to avoid, quote, controversial issues or social issues that, you know, may... No. He's been very outspoken, very clear. And I just hope and pray that the eyes of those who have been deceived by, I believe, demonic influences, that their eyes will be opened up. They'll turn to the Lord and repent, because the mainstream of America, fortunately, praise God, does see the truth and has called it out. And they did so this last election very clearly.
So, Ron, was there a question you had to go along with that?
No, just, you know, how demonic our society's become.
Yeah. I think, you know, they're if you look at the nation of Israel, they would have good kings and they would have bad kings. And the problem is the times of revival for the southern two tribes of Israel, tribe of Judah and Benjamin, became shorter and shorter lived. In other words, their times of reprieve became shorter and shorter. The evil was continually taking over. And I see that. And again, when any political party, I don't care who it is, does not want to protect women's rights, there is something seriously, seriously wrong mentally with these people. And I tell you, I don't understand it, that you think you can just put on a dress and now you're a woman. And this is applauded by the Democrat Party. Again, all of them voted against the transgender males playing in female sports. They all said, oh no, they should have a right to play against women. Steal their scholarship, sure. They don't protect women. They hate women. And you wouldn't be doing this kind of stuff if you really cared about people. That's my opinion. Anyway, hope that helps, Ron.
Yes, it does.
God bless you. Stay online. Send you out some books, DVDs. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. Let's go to Susan, Lancaster, California, out in the desert out there. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, and God bless.
Blessings to you. How may we help?
I wanted to ask a question regarding blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Is that something that a Christian can encounter? Is that something
I believe blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is, the Bible says God will forgive any sin except blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And as we read on in Revelation, and taking the mark of the beast, those are the two things that he won't forgive. I believe that, again, we don't commit the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit until actually we die. See, it's by the Holy Spirit that we're called into repentance. It's conviction from God saying, hey, you know, we have a dirty, filthy soul and we need to be healed. We need to be forgiven. We need to be restored. And we keep pushing God away. No, 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 I'm going to stay in my sin. I want to do it, in the words of Frank Sinatra, my way, that song that he wrote years ago. Well, we got to do it God's way. And until we come to our knees and say, Lord, from now on, whatever time I have left is yours, and we repent from our evil ways. You know, it's written on man's heart, the Bible says, the heart, the laws of God. So we already know. You know, it's funny. We know when we're in violation of God because it's part of our DNA. God built it into us. And we know we need to be forgiven. That's why people drink. That's why people get loaded. That's why people get stoned. This is why people become preoccupied with so many things. To escape from that nagging in their soul, you need to get right with me. And I believe that's so important because, again, there's a way that seems right to a man, but there's death in the end. Mm-hmm. And yet, somehow within the heart of man, he knows he's not right with God. You can prove this by just looking at different religions of the world. They burn incense to appease God. Well, why is God mad? Because we're sinners, you see. But burning incense doesn't make God's wrath go away. The blood of Jesus makes God's wrath go away from us as human beings that have accepted him. And so I believe really when we look at this, this conviction of the Holy Spirit, if we die in that rebellion to God, we will go to hell. You'll die in your sins and you will be punished throughout all of eternity for the things that we've done wrong. And the things that you put in motion while you were here on this earth will continue to rack up against you. Think of the person that started a cult. Maybe there was only 15, 20 people at the time. Now there's millions. Oh, yeah, there's going to be a judgment, friends. Think of the people who perpetrate evolution, though they know scientifically it is fraud. There's no other way around it. There's no transitory life forms. There's no transitional life forms. All made up. And yet they continue to tell this lie as if it's truth. And they don't, in many places, they don't even use the term, the theory of evolution. They just say evolution now like it's fact. It is a lie. There's no proof for it. It's all made up. And yet this is taught in our universities by people who know better. Darwin himself said the problem with his theory was that there was no fossilized records, no living examples of transmuting animals trading up, and yet it's taught as fact. What tragedy. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, when I hear people ask questions like this, and it's a good, very good question, I think the first step is to step back and say, you know, ask ourselves, what is the character of God? God is a God of incredible love, and he wishes for none to perish, no, not one, but for all to come to repentance. So much so that he went and sent his son, his own son, his being, to die on a cross in agony and pain to pay for our sins. So logically, that kind of a God with that kind of a love and that kind of a full and complete payment on the cross, logically, the only sin that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit would be the rejection of that, because he's still kept, gave us our free will to accept or reject. So that is the logical thing that that could be, would be, as was already just said, rejection of Christ, rejection of what God's done. It's interesting, you know, it talks about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because it's through the Holy Spirit that we're drawn and given the gift of faith and opportunity to come to Christ. And yet we blaspheme that grace that God offers through the Holy Spirit to receive Christ when we reject Christ, when we turn away from it. It's blasphemy against that incredible gift that God graciously offers and calls us to by the leading of the Holy Spirit and his incredible love and truth.
So I hope that helps.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, what was the question you had here?
Oh, yes, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, no, I want you to ask that. Please ask it.
Because in California, a lot of the trials, is civil or they're just deciding who's guilty and they're not allowing time for discovery or to present evidence, and they're just deciding that because a person is white, he's guilty, and he was a prejudice against somebody else. And so how do we hold the courts accountable?
Yeah, is this a civil trial or criminal trial?
Pattern now. Huh?
It's happening now?
It's happening a lot, yeah.
Oh, it's just in general happening a lot.
It's in general happening a lot to white people.
Oh, as far as discrimination and accusations of discrimination. In fact, you know, under federal law, you know, we have the hate crimes where if you commit a crime against someone and hurt someone, and if you can show that they had a racial intent, a racist intent, then you get even more punishment for the crime. And someone who hurt the person equally as hard for other reasons. I remember I testified against that because it opened the door for just that, second guessing intent and discrimination or racism or non-racism, and that it would could result in injustices in individual trials and assumptions depending on the jury and the makeup of the jury. That we do have that. And it can be very difficult, depending on the jury, for people to survive such accusations. California also has a law that is even broader than that in terms of speech that is alleged to be racist or discriminatory in that regard. We had someone who, a pastor, who was actually passing out gospel tracts, and it was comparing Islam to Christianity. And there was a tribunal formed, and he was being prosecuted for violating the state law, the state criminal statute. We at Pacific Justice Institute, we stepped in. It was down in the San Bernardino County, and our attorney stepped in and represented him and said, made it very clear. He says, if you convict this person, we will take this all the way to the Supreme Court. This is unconstitutional. He has every right to share the gospel and compare Christianity and Jesus to Muhammad. They quickly backed off, so sometimes it's just outright blatantly unconstitutional what they're trying to do. And they often use those as that, some of that same language for religious persecution, as it was in that pastor's case. But we did prevail. So it does happen. If you do have injustice, you can always appeal to the next court, the Court of Appeals. Or we have a federal court system, a state court system. And people need to know what their rights are and make sure they get legal counsel. That's very important.
I hope that helps.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you. Stay in line, dear, if you need, and I'll send you out some books, DVDs. Great to share with your friends, especially unsaved people that sometimes are so hard to share with, especially those that are very close to you, children and moms and dads and all. Let the book and let the videos do the work. A lot of people have come to Christ through the printed word, through videos, these things. And so stay in line. We'll get those out to you. Thanks so much for the question. 8888 ASCSN is the number to call. If you got a question today, we're going to go to Trevor in Alaska. Hi and welcome.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, Hi. Brad.
Hello.
How may we help?
So just a quick question. Something that came to mind was abortion, and I was wondering how that ties into God's plan for predestination, election, that of salvation of infants, stuff like that.
Well, as we've said so many times here, just because God knows what's going to happen in the future doesn't stop the future from happening. And again, just because you have a videotape of the last Super Bowl game, let's say you recorded it, one of those old VCRs, or you had a DVD burner that would burn that, or you put it into your hard drive of your computer. Just because you have that in the hard drive of your computer did not stop those events from happening. God just happens to have the CD burner on all of us for our whole life. And just because God knows the future doesn't stop people from making the decisions that they make. Now, sure, as a Christian, I can ask God to intervene in my life. And yes, God knew that I would ask for that. That's why in the Bible it says, Jacob I've loved, Esau I've hated. Well, how could God say that? That's from God's knowing all things. God does not learn. He doesn't, you know, have a test at the end and, oh look at here, you know, I'm totally surprised with what Bill did today. Oh man, that's going to wreck my, no, God knows everything. And just because he knows what decisions we make does not stop any of us from making those decisions. That's why the Bible can say we're predestinated. And from God's perspective, we are. However, from man's perspective, where we all live, it's not. That's why the Bible said to preach the gospel to every creature. And to cop out and say, oh, well, you know, if this person's really going to figure out salvation, they'll figure it out. You are one of the elected ones. No, that's not what the Bible teaches at all. And again, people that try to blame God and say, oh, well, God put you on this earth to fry, spit, and sizzle. That doesn't sound like John 3:16 at all to me. God so loved the world. That means everybody in it. Whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And I can't fault God because he knows the decisions that I or any other person will make on this life. God does not learn. In fact, the Bible says he lives in all times presence. Well, where does it say that? I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and last, Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 22. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, and he who was and is to come. It's,
yep.
He is, you're absolutely right. He's not bound by time. He's outside of time and space. It's hard for us to fathom. But as a matter of metaphysics, astrophysics, I mean, some of the apologetics have talked about actually how it's the only logical conclusion of how time and space can begin. If you have to have something and someone outside and not bound by space or time. So we see that from that perspective. Some people, though, they look at the abortion of the preborn. This is they've had no opportunity to live. And I've heard some twisted people say out there, they say, well, actually, you're doing a good thing because this way they'll go to heaven. And if they live, they may decide to turn from God and reject God. That is a warped, twisted deceit of Satan. God loves life. God created life. And when we live, God created us for his glory and for his pleasure. And when we live, and that person that has an opportunity to live, there's not just an opportunity to have a personal relationship with the Lord. There's an opportunity for God to be glorified through that person's life in ways that will last for eternity. And when a child is killed and murdered, or particularly a preborn killed and murdered, That is completely taken away. It's a terrible travesty. And yet, at the same time, we need to also understand that God is manifests his incredible, unthinkable, unfathomable love and grace and forgiveness to anyone willing to receive that through faith in Jesus Christ. And that can happen right now. So if you know of someone out there, perhaps you're listening to this and you realize that that's where you are, you can right now receive Christ and receive that forgiveness right where you are. In fact, this may be spontaneous, but if you don't mind, I'd just like to have a prayer for those out there. If you're out there right now and you know you've been holding on to sin, whether it was abortion or something else, right now you can receive that full forgiveness and washing of all that sin away through the blood of Christ just by saying this prayer right where you are. Just say, Lord God, I'm a sinner. You know my past. You know all that I've done. And right now in faith, I receive Jesus's forgiveness and payment for my sins on the cross in my place. Thank you for forgiving me my sins, and I now surrender my life to you. I want to follow you from now on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you just prayed that prayer, folks, I just wanted you to know Satan's going to want to try to minimize that. Don't let him do that. You share that with someone and get involved in a church that preaches from the Bible, and because that's what God wants you to grow in Christ and to be glorified, as I said, in your lives, and this is just the first step.
I pray that Trevor, answers your question for you.
Yeah, I got one more thing. I have a brother. His name is Bryce. He's gone through a drug recovery program and hoping to be there for him and be able to be a light to him and to be able to for him to get the gospel. He's been a good friend of mine for quite a while and hoping to be able to touch his life. But of course, I know God's the one who works, to do just that. And he's going through a hard time with, struggling and wanting to use, but like I said, I'm hoping I'd be able to be an impact on his life for Christ. So
you just need prayer for him? Father, we just lift him up to you, and we just ask you, God, that you would open the doors of your wisdom into his life. Father, again, that you would bind the devil from any interference here, that he'd be able to understand your word, your truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Trevor, our prayers are with you, and I'll send you some books and DVDs, okay? Perhaps you can get those into his hands, all right?
That would be awesome. Thank you.
God bless you. Let's go to Philo in Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha.
Yes, we only got about a minute.
My question today is, I've heard it on conversation on the radio here before, when we die, about cremation and being buried. And I believe God can do above and beyond all we could ever imagine. I know he created us from the dust. I'm saved. I've been born again. But I'm curious about that because I know there's a lot of Christians that have been cremated.
Well, I believe that cremation does in a few moments what time will do over a period of time. It is not really a biblical practice because they had respect that we were made in the image of God, so therefore let the body just decompose naturally. It's really borrowed from the Hindus, and we find it in America. However, we go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross for us, not because I was cremated or not cremated. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. Biblically, there's nothing there to support cremation. That said, the grace of God is more than powerful enough for the purpose of resurrection. And no matter what happens to this body, whether it's burned deliberately or inadvertently or in a building or cremated, God is able to give us a new body, which he promises, and we can hold fast to that no matter what happens to our bodies.
So again, God's got the DNA of every person. So whether a person was cremated or died in a fire, God knows exactly how to give us our brand new body that we all look forward to. Philo, I hope that helps. We're all out of time, everyone. Stay in line, send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Brad, thank you again so much.
Thank you.
PJI.org, Brad Dacus. Got a question? Be sure to email him. Have a safe, blessed weekend. Good night.
Please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.